Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing real good. It's good to be back with you.
Awesome. Yeah, great to be here.
And all of our listeners.
Yes, great to be here on Sunday night studying God's Word. And here we are a little over a week before Christmas.
Yeah.
And we don't mind saying Christmas here. We don't call it holiday season.
We don't. No, we don't. Okay, yeah. We can call it Christmas
here. We tend to not be politically correct here.
Yeah. we like it that way better.
Yeah, because, you know, we get kind of excited that Messiah was born.
Yeah, I'm really excited that Messiah was born.
Yeah, because if he hadn't been born, we'd still be in a world of trouble.
wouldn't be much point to doing this show.
Oh, man, that's for sure. I'd still be out there trying to do 613 laws, and actually, I'd probably still be a pagan.
You could probably do it,
No, I could do it at least for 10 minutes, exactly. Maybe 15.
Maybe 15?
Yeah. You know, on a good day.
On a good day, okay.
Yeah, then I'd have to get up out of bed and go to work. Then the rest of them would all fall there. Yeah, so we get pretty excited that Messiah was born. And obviously, we know all the controversies. We know he wasn't born on December 25th, and we're not going to rehash. No, he wasn't. So we're not going to rehash that, but maybe we'll mention it next week during our Christmas show.
Do you know why, though, that the early church chose that date?
I do.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, but maybe we should talk about that next week when we do the Christmas show.
Yeah, we'll
show.
Do that next week.
Yeah. We still have a week till the Christmas show. And, we're not going to talk about Santa. We're not going to talk about Frosty.
No reindeers?
Maybe some reindeers. Okay. Only if they went to the manger scene.
Okay.
Then there weren't any reindeer in Bethlehem.
There were no rangers in the manger scene?
It was a little too hot for reindeer there. But anyway.
All right.
We're digressing.
Definitely too hot for Frosty, though.
No, yeah.
There we go.
So last right, week.
Just had to get that in.
I hope you guys were all listening last week when we talked about prophets, and we went through a lot of things from Isaiah, and we went through some things from Jeremiah, and we left off with Jeremiah 31 to 34, which is the announcement of the new covenant that was coming. Mm-hmm. So since the people were living in a covenant of law, and God said through the prophet Jeremiah that a new covenant was coming, that's pretty exciting news.
Yes.
That a new covenant was coming. Now, there's not going to be a new covenant after this covenant. There was only a new covenant once. And there's not going to be a new covenant coming in the future.
Mm-hmm.
We are now in the new covenant, the covenant of grace, and we could call it the newer covenant because it's not really new anymore. It's 2,000 years old.
Exactly.
But but you get the idea. And, you know, a lot of people think, we don't really like to study the Old Testament because it's boring and there's all those names and there's all those battles and God was really mean. And let's start talking about Jesus because Jesus was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
God was mean in the Old Testament, but then he kind of mellowed with age. No, he doesn't age. But that's what a lot of people think.
He became a grandfather.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people think. And a lot of my irreverent, non-believing friends say, yeah, you know, God really mellowed as he got older. And, but we're not even going to go there. But just before we go into some interesting stuff about this Advent season that we're still in, we have to remind people that back in the book of Genesis is the first book of Moses. Yeah, and there were four more after that, but Genesis was the first book of Moses.
So there are five total.
Five total.
Okay.
So in this first book of Moses, which we call Genesis from the Greek word, in Hebrew it's Bereshit, but we use the Greek word Geneseo, I think is how you say it. But anyway, back in chapter 3, verse 15, we have the first proclamation of the gospel when God comes back into the garden, not that he was gone, but when he comes back to the garden to have a little talk with Adam and Eve.
Uh-oh.
And to the serpent, who was also still there. And before, and right afterwards, Adam makes his famous excuse. It was that woman you put here.
Mm-hmm.
The old blame game.
Yeah. Everything was great till that woman showed up. But anyway, we see God saying to the serpent, and Eve is there, that there was going to be a plan of salvation, that he was going to now make a plan to resolve this problem of sin, because now sin entered the world. Our nature of sin and disobedience and rebellion come from Adam, who is the fountainhead of the human race, and which is why, as we'll find out, it's very important that Messiah is not going to have a human father. And God says to the serpent that he was going to put enmity between his seed and the woman's seed. And we've talked many times, and we probably talked last Christmas season, about how the biblical fact is that women don't have seeds. Seed comes from the man. So it's not only an early proclamation of the gospel, which is called the Proto-Evangelion, it's also a prophecy that Messiah is not going to have a human father, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
And so as we've done, you know, many shows, and I'm sure you've been to many Bible studies, and for those of you that took my Torah course, which is, by the way, on giftofgraceministries.org, you can kind of take it in the comfort of your home, but without the commentary.
It's much funner if they go to the actual thing, though.
Yeah. But you see, through the Torah, through the prophets, as we mentioned last week, this plan of salvation unfolds itself. You know, and if you remember in the book of Joshua, when the two guys are at Rahab, the prostitute's house, and they put a, they tell her, you know, she's going to put a scarlet rope out her window so that when the Israelites come into the city, she's not going to be hurt. You know, it's a scarlet cord because it's the color of blood. And it refers back to the Passover. If you had the lamb's blood, you were safe. If Rahab had the scarlet thing on her house, they she wasn't going to be touched. You know, if you had the blood of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, over you, you're not going to be subject to the curse of your sin, of the to the curse of sin. And so all these things kind of go through the whole Old Testament. And we talked last week a little bit about Isaiah, and we talked a little bit about Jeremiah, and we're going to say a couple other things about Isaiah, and then we'll get into some interesting stuff that we didn't talk about last week. But one of the great prophecies that we didn't talk about last week is in Isaiah 7:14, which is the famous, "The virgin shall be with child."
Yes.
You know, and it's like, you know, God says, "You want a sign? I'll give you a sign." The virgin will be with child and conceive.
How is that going to happen?
Yeah, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, that is really cool, because first of all, it follows from that prophecy of Genesis 3:15. A woman is going to be with child who the child does not have a human father. A virgin is going to conceive and bear a son. And we know later that the angel Gabriel tells the Virgin Mary that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the baby's going to be conceived in her womb. So that's a fulfillment of that. And Isaiah says we're going to call his name Emmanuel. Remember, in Hebrew, the E-L at the end is the important part, Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
Right.
So this is also, just like Jesus' name, Yeshua, kind of is his job description, because it means God saves.
Right.
Here's his other title, Emmanuel, God is with us, because here is God in physical form of a man who looks like Jesus. I mean, a man who is Jesus of Nazareth, who looks like any other man, but he also has the divine nature. He's going to be living with us. So he's literally going to be God with us.
Exactly.
And it's a sign that only God could give. No human being would say, well, you know what? The virgin is going to be with child. Because that's out of the scope of human experience.
Not possible.
Yeah, it's out of the scope of human experience. So when God says, you're going to see a virgin be with child and bear a son, only God could do that. Only he could say that.
Right, right. Well, you know, when you were talking about, when you went back to Genesis, kind of flipping all around here, I'm going back and forth in my Bible, trying to keep up with you here.
Steve's doing aerobic Bible reading.
Bible aerobics, flipping the pages. When you were talking about the encounter, well, when God comes back into the garden and he talks to Adam and Eve and the serpent, I always found, you know, very interesting is that Eve took the first bite of the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gave it to her husband, Adam,
mm-hmm.
and he ate it. And it says, and then their eyes were opened.
Yeah.
Which was always very interesting to me that it didn't say, well, when Eve ate the fruit, that her eyes
mm-hmm.
were open.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, here, you better take some too, because, you know, it doesn't recount that. It's interesting. And I wonder about that sometimes as to, you know, that God set up the humanity in an order, you know, and this isn't a male chauvinist type statement, but I shouldn't say but after that. However,
well, we already said that woman you put here did it.
That woman, yeah. And it's interesting that it's said that way, that, and when he ate the fruit, then mm-hmm. their eyes were open.
Yeah.
And there's a structure yes. to not only God's creation, but yes. to the human family.
Yes.
And it's just something to, I think, ponder. And
yeah, I think that's a very interesting point.
And
I think that's, just as a quick aside, I think that's one of the main problems with the troubles we're seeing in our society now, is that men are either not present in the family anymore
mm-hmm.
or have given up the authority that they have,
right,
which is the divine authority,
right,
to be the spiritual head of a house
mm-hmm.
as well as the physical head of the house in a way that, you know, you understand that women have a very important part, but even, you know, Paul says, you know, husbands or wives have to love their husbands, have to be submissive to their husbands, but men have to love their wives like Christ loves the church.
And
so it's a very powerful, and right. gave his life for her.
Gave the life for the church,
yeah.
right, exactly.
So it's a very powerful obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And in our society, we see a lot of men have just moved away from that.
Well, yeah, relationships are so fragmented, and the level of commitment that is required in a relationship out of love is, you know, it's very, just doesn't seem to be there.
Yeah.
I don't know what other word to use for it, but it doesn't seem to be there. And, you know, like you said, Christ came and gave his life for his church,
mm-hmm.
and that's the same love that a man is to have for a woman. And it's not so much that you have, you know, that you're ruling over, or you're, you know, the woman submissive to the husband.
Right.
But it's when you have a role of authority, you're not to abuse that role of authority. You're to use it for the good.
Sure.
For the good of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that is misused in our culture,
mm-hmm. sure.
in our culture today. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the things that we're talking about these prophecies, you know, it's also in Isaiah where, you know, God says, I'm going to tell you ahead of time what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells us all the way through. And it doesn't matter what we think.
Yeah.
So when he says, well, you know what, a virgin's going to be with child and conceive and bear a son, he doesn't care that every single person in the world would say, ha, ha, what are you talking about? That's impossible.
Yeah.
He says, well, that's what's going to happen. Because it's not based on what we think is possible.
Right.
It's not based on our emotions. It's not based on our feelings. Because he says, I myself will give you a sign,
mm-hmm.
which the sign can only be from him.
Right.
It's never happened any other time in human existence.
Exactly.
And so it's a very unique sign. And it shows his divine authority. And it also shows the divine purity of Messiah.
Yes.
He's not going to have a human father. He's not going to be contaminated by Adam's nature, because mm-hmm. he's going to be the second Adam.
Exactly.
As Paul talks about in the book of Romans, the second Adam. He's not going to be polluted by the first Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And then to call him Emmanuel, God with us, is another amazing prophecy,
yeah.
as I just said. But if you go back to the first chapter of John's gospel, it says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Mm-hmm.
So he's literally God with us.
Yes.
So he becomes the God-man, and he's like us. You know, if he's sitting there eating dinner and you're sitting across the table from him, you say, oh, there's a guy eating dinner. Because he looks like
just like you and
the other man.
Yeah.
And, You know, in the book of Hebrews, it says he's pleased to call us brethren.
Yeah.
You know, he refers to us as his brethren. In Romans, you know, it talks about how we're adopted sons and daughters and we're co-heirs with Christ. We're like a, you know, we're a family.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what Jesus does, God gets his family of faith.
And, you know, that's really the plan behind God's covenants with his people.
Yeah.
You know, if you study the covenants and you understand that God made a covenant with Abraham,
mm-hmm.
with Noah. There mm-hmm. was a covenant with Noah. Covenant with Abraham, and that really set in motion the, you know, the plan of salvation.
Yeah.
And in really drawing all humanity back to himself.
Yes.
Because
exactly.
It was through these covenants, as he chose one person, that person had an offspring,
mm-hmm.
and then that person had an offspring. So he went from one person, one man,
mm-hmm.
to a nation.
Yes.
A nation of people.
Yes.
And, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they didn't understand the whole thing with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, Israel is not just the nation state that was recreated in 1948
yeah.
by through the United Nations. Israel is the descendants of yeah. Jacob.
Yeah.
All the descendants of Jacob.
Yeah.
Who God changed his name to Israel. So there's more to Israel than just a piece of land.
Exactly.
And a declaration.
Yeah.
So when you go through, you know, the covenants up to the new and everlasting covenant that Jesus institutes with his own body and his own blood,
mm-hmm.
that's the everlasting covenant.
Exactly.
You know, so the covenants are so essential in understanding how God draws us all back to himself
yeah.
through Messiah
yeah.
into his kingdom.
Oh, that's awesome. Well put.
All right. Well,
it's, you know, it's God dwelling with us to make the new covenant. And then through his sacrifice, the covenant sealed in blood.
Mm-hmm.
And we're grafted in, and the whole plan comes together.
Yeah.
So that, like we've talked about the last few weeks, those of us that are Gentiles, like Stephen and I,
we are
Gentiles.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. I mean, our ancestors were card-carrying pagans, and they were running around, you know, making images out of trees and stones and worshiping
yeah.
gods. But now we're grafted into the kingdom of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jewish evangelists went out into the world and preached the gospel.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh. And, oh, we're going to talk more about the Son.
Zephaniah.
Let's listen to Paul Wilbur. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org or look for us on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Rejoice, rejoice. Destroy your enemies, King of Israel, Lord of all his king, in the midst of us, he is mighty. Rejoice, rejoice, daughter of Zion, shout aloud, Israel, sing, rejoice with all your heart, O Jerusalem. For the Lord your God in the midst of you, mighty is his name. Rejoicing over you with songs of gladness, singing joyfully, he will save us. Rejoice, rejoice, daughter of Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Sing, rejoice with all your heart, O Jerusalem. Roni, 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 Ba'atio, Ha'ariu, Israel. Sing, Zivati, Yerushalayim.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Well, Stephen, I don't know about you, but I think we should read the passage of scripture that song comes from.
Yes, after we just got done.
You learned a little. You had a little Hebrew lesson in that song too.
See, the great thing about proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah and celebrating His birth is that it should be a joyful, joyous occasion,
Amen.
And it should reflect the rejoicing that should take place in our hearts,
Amen.
To rejoice with, you know, rejoice, O daughter of Zion.
Yep,
because the Lord's going to take away all your sin and all your punishment.
That's right.
What could be better than that?
Woo! Yeah. I mean, this is another prophecy from the Old Testament. This is from the book of Zephaniah, which Steve's going to read now. Like, I know a lot of you today have been studying the book of Zephaniah.
I think so.
And if you haven't studied it, you should study it. It's a cute little book. It's only three chapters.
Is he a major prophet or a minor prophet?
No, very minor.
Very minor.
Very minor. After he wrote some stuff, they said, "Who are you, dude? We don't even know who you are." He goes, "Well, I wrote three chapters." They go, "Well, we're not impressed."
And Isaiah said, "Well, I got chapters. Like 72 chapters. Get out of here." Okay.
Go ahead.
Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged. The Lord, your God, is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in His love. He will sing joyfully because of you, as one sings at festivals."
Wow.
Woo.
How awesome is that? Now, this is in Zephaniah chapter 3. This is verse 14 to 18.
Woo!
Read that again after the show's over.
No wonder he only wrote three chapters.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You don't need anything to say anything else.
Because after he wrote that part, he started like dancing around the room. He started listening to Roni Roni.
Exactly.
And that was it. And he didn't even know Paul Wilbur.
Wow.
He didn't even have any CDs. But we know he was dancing around the room. Because you can't hear that song and not want to dance around the room.
Exactly.
And so look at how cool this is. You know, you shout for joy, like you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
We should be joyful that Messiah is coming.
Yeah.
You shout for joy. And you're glad. You exalt with all your heart. Now, Jerusalem, you know, this is directed to Jerusalem, which are the people, because the Lord's removed the judgment against you. And when you look at that, Lord is all capitalized, which is God's name. That's Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
We can say the name Yahweh because we can call him daddy now, whereas mm-hmm. before we couldn't say that word.
Yeah.
But the judgment's been removed against us. In other words, when Yahweh says, "So, Phil, how did you do with those 613 laws?" I say, "Well, not really that hot." Well, that judgment's been removed from me.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I turn to Messiah, repent, accept him as my Lord and Savior, the judgment that's due to me because of those laws that I broke is removed from me.
Exactly.
He's turned away your enemies. Mm-hmm. You know, your enemies. He's turned away sin, which was your enemy.
Right.
He's turned away Satan, who was your enemy. And, you know, it says the King of Israel, the Lord, all capitals, is in your midst. I mean, here we have, you know, the virgin will conceive and bear a son. He's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. He's going to be, you know, the Word made flesh. He's going to dwell among us. The Greek means he's going to pitch his tent with you.
Exactly.
He's going to live with you. So Zephaniah says, the King, the Lord, the King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst, so mm-hmm. you don't have to worry.
Exactly.
You know, don't be afraid. It says, "Fear not, O Zion. Don't be discouraged, because the Lord your God is in the midst of you, and he's a mighty Savior."
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Isaiah, there's a passage in Isaiah that echoes that. And it's, I think it's in chapter 12, that sing praise to the Lord for his glorious achievement. Let this be known throughout all the earth. Mm. Shout with exultation, O city of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Mm. You know, that God, I am confident and unafraid that God indeed is my Savior,
mm.
and my strength and my courage is the Lord. He's been my Savior.
Wow.
You know, and that you're going to draw water. With joy, you're going to draw water from the fountain of salvation.
Woo.
You know,
that's
so
pretty exciting.
Yeah. So there's this wellspring of water that that the Lord just brings, you know, waters of life that he's going to give to everybody, that we're not going to thirst again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, did we talk about the woman at the well?
I think so.
We should do a show on that, because that's a really good story about drawing
water. We should probably redo it, since that was probably about 3 years ago.
Yeah. The best part is that she left her bucket. She just left her bucket.
That's right. And we have so many more listeners now that we did that. And that's when the guys were at the deli. Let's do the woman at the well right now. Oh, no.
Was it
after New Year's.
After New Year's. So there's this fountain of living water that the Lord brings that is to refresh us, renew us, and give us eternal life.
Yeah.
You know, and there's just so much joy in and you and I, you know, you and I talk about this, and we love some of the music that we listen to here. And there's just so much joy in it, because it talks about who God is.
Yeah.
About who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And just the majesty of God's glory.
Yes.
You know, and while it's important to, you know, sing songs about, thank you, Lord, I love you for saving me, it's also important to sing songs of who God is.
Mm.
And just sing about him.
Yeah.
Because without him, we have nothing to sing about.
That's right. Yeah. And without Messiah, we don't have much to sing about either.
No.
So we're going to sing songs about how well we're doing with the law. It's not going to be very good songs. Yeah. And, you know, this is why, you know, when we did those shows, you know, where Paul talks about, you know, the law just becomes your taskmaster, your mm-hmm. schoolmaster.
Yeah.
And then you finally say, well, it drives you to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is so cool because, of course, the other thing that the water signifies is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So you go and you get the wells of salvation. You get the water out of these wells.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come to salvation, you know, the Holy Spirit dwells in you.
Yeah.
And he anoints you and overshadows you and mm-hmm. in a very real way.
Yeah.
He didn't stop working in the first century. He's still working.
He is?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. A lot of people think, you know, in about the year 100, he kind of said, okay, not enough to do anything more.
Went into retirement,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. But we draw this water from the well, from the fountain of salvation. And this was even foretold in the traditions that the Jewish people had at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. But mm-hmm. we're not going to relive that now. But this is all, everything fits together. This is why it's so cool.
Yeah.
And like you say, when you study the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and you see these things, and then you put it into context of what Jesus the Messiah is doing
mm-hmm.
and the work that he's doing, and it all comes together in your mind, you say, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And I think these songs that you mentioned just really bring that out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, if you think about the just the environment, the landscape
mm-hmm.
of the Middle East, in Jerusalem
mm-hmm.
and Judah and you know, Galilee.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a lot of desert
mm-hmm.
and water is very much needed to survive.
Sure.
Not only is water needed to survive in our culture, but in a hot desert, you know, we think of, oh gosh, if you don't have water, like you're gonna be baked and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So this image of water is life-giving.
Yeah.
And, you know, I heard somebody talking one time, I think it was Rabbi Eric's brother. He ministers to some of the
Arabs
yeah. in the Middle East. And he was saying, you know, that the worst type of person is the one who knows where the water is at, but doesn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me so much because we have the life-giving water in proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And we have to give that water to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, because if we don't tell them where the water's at, we're basically not letting them drink of the life-giving water.
That's right.
You know, and that really stuck with me when he said that. I'm thinking, because that whole image of just a desert, I know where there's water. And mm-hmm. here's some people coming in who are thirsty. I'm not going to give it to them.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you can make so many parallels with evangelization.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's, you know, one beggar telling another beggar where the food is and, you know, all these things that you're used to hearing, that, you know, we learn how to do CPR so we can save somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
but yet we don't want to tell them the gospel because we don't want them to think we're crazy or kooky, which would give them eternal life,
right?
Not just life for their physical heart that's going on right this minute.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with the water, that's a great example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You bring up a good point too. With CPR, we have all these medical procedures to save people and prolong people's lives,
mm-hmm.
and you know, if they don't have eternal life, it's all for naught.
Yeah.
It's all for naught.
Yeah. Sure. Because in our point of view, if somebody dies when they're 20, I mean, that's sad. That's a very sad thing mm-hmm. compared to, say, somebody who dies when they're 95.
Mm-hmm.
But in the scope of eternity, there's really not going to be a difference.
Whether you're 95 or 20.
10 billion years from now, you're going to be in one of two places.
Yeah.
And you're not going to say to somebody, oh, you know, I lived 61 years, 4 months, and 17 days, and because you're not even going to remember all that. And if somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I died when I was 10, you're not going to say, oh, how horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because 17 billion years from now, that's not going to matter.
Well, if you're in the kingdom, it's not going to matter.
That's right. Well, yeah.
If you're in the other place, then
I don't know. Maybe. But this, I just love that song, Roni Roni, and this little Zephaniah. I might go look him up in heaven, too. See if he wants to go to Starbucks.
I think he'll be waiting there for you.
He'll be the one dancing around.
He'll be the one going, Phil, you didn't say anything about me on the show.
Well, today we just did, Zephaniah. Just relax, dude. We just did a whole thing about you.
Oh, yeah.
Rachel meets Paul Wilbur.
Oh, my.
He's going to love that.
Oh, yeah.
Not too many people sing about the book of Zephaniah.
I am so glad you made a song about my book. Paul will go, who are you? So, but you know, as we're talking about the season of Advent and we're reflecting on the scriptures here, it is, you know, it is a time of preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we preparing our hearts for? What are we preparing our homes for?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we're talking about here is it.
Yeah.
It's to receive this life-giving water, to receive this gift of salvation. It's better than any Nintendo, any Xbox, any, you know, any flat screen, big TV you can get. The gift of salvation is better than any of those gifts.
Yeah.
And that's why we celebrate the birth of Christ, because he is the Messiah. He was born of a woman under the law to deliver those who were under the law.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, as it says in Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to celebrate that event,
mm-hmm.
the greatest event in human history,
mm-hmm.
you know, the center of, you know, think about it. God sends angels to proclaim to shepherds,
mm-hmm.
you know, go to Bethlehem and check this out.
Yeah.
My son's born.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And why wouldn't we want to celebrate that?
Yeah.
If we're a believer.
That's right.
Even if you're not a believer, you should celebrate it.
Yeah. You think those angels might have been singing Roni Roni?
They probably had the chorus down by then.
They had to play chords?
Chorus.
Oh, chorus.
The chorus.
They said chords.
They knew all the minor chords. Oh, don't worry. They didn't sweat minor chords.
But anyway, this is why I love how this plan goes through the whole scripture. And, you know, next week when we do the Christmas show, we'll bring in
Rudolph?
No.
Oh.
We'll bring in some other prophecies from Isaiah that just really, you know, how God says, you know, the zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not us that's going to do it.
Right.
Not the Israelites that are going to do it.
Yeah.
It's not Isaiah who's going to do it. It's going to be he who's going to do it. And as the plan of salvation then actually comes, and of course, you can't have the God-man, the Messiah, do the sacrifice if he's not physically born into the world.
Right.
So there was a time, it probably wasn't December 25th, but there was a time when he was physically born into the world. Just like all these prophets had mentioned through all the books.
And we'll talk about the reason why the early church chose December 25th next week.
Next
week. You have to tune in next week. We'll talk about that.
And I think when, you know, you mentioned about bondage is broken, you know, there's bondage to the law. People, mm-hmm. you know, there were many people, there's always people in rebellion and everybody's in rebellion to some extent, but there were people that sincerely wanted to follow the law and they sincerely wanted to do what God wanted them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they became just bonded to that. They were just slaves to it, like Paul says.
I was enslaved to it.
Yeah. And that bondage is broken.
Yeah.
And then you had people, everyone to some degree, some people more than others, that are, you know, that have bondage to sin, and that's broken. You know, back in Genesis, God says to Cain, you know, sin's going to be crouching at your door,
mm-hmm.
but you can master it.
Yes.
Now, some people don't want to master it. Some people say, hey, I'll just do all the sin stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? It's fun. And some people don't want to do the sin stuff, and they want to try to be good, and they want to try to be righteous and noble, and they can't do it. But that, all of that is smashed by the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these things can't take place unless Jesus of Nazareth is actually born.
Exactly.
Wait, that sounds like the Christmas show. That's going to be next week.
Yeah. We'll back up a little bit.
Yeah, we'll back up a little bit next week. But all these things are so...
Well, you know, it reminds me of when Jesus is in the temple and the attendant hands him the scroll.
Mm.
And he starts reading that passage from Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for it here. I think it's in what? Is it Luke?
Yes.
Yeah. That he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord.
Mm.
To bring glad tidings to the poor.
Yeah.
What did the angels say to the shepherds? We proclaim glad tidings, good tidings to you.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow. Yeah.
Glad tidings.
Yeah. So, you know, release to the prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Release from sin.
Mm-hmm.
Because those who are enslaved to sin or enslaved to trying to hold, you know, trying to do the law.
That's right.
But couldn't.
Right.
It's like bondage.
And this is the good news.
Yeah.
This is the good news. And I can't resist one more thing from Isaiah.
Okay.
Along those lines. Isaiah's pretty cool. I'd like to meet him too.
It's a good thing he wrote all these chapters or we'd run out of material.
When I meet him, I'm going to say, man, were you ever a major prophet? How'd you write all that stuff, man? I said, that's Zephaniah. He wrote 3 little chapters. Look at all this stuff you got.
And I'll say, but he got a song written after it, so.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Isaiah's got that, you know.
Oh, yeah, he's got a couple of songs.
Strength will rise as you wait upon the Lord.
Yeah, that's true.
There's probably some other ones.
Yeah, there's a couple more.
But considering how big the book of Isaiah is, you musicians ought to be able to have at least 10 or 12 songs. Anyway, the cool thing, too, that goes right along the lines of what Stephen was just saying in Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 4, it says, for you have broken the yoke of the burden, the staff of the on the shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, you know, the rod of the taskmaster you've smashed.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Messiah is born, he breaks that yoke.
Yeah.
He breaks the yoke not only to sin and to Satan, but even the yoke to the law.
Yeah.
Because now you were delivered from the condemnation of the law, it says in Colossians 2:14.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what Messiah did.
Right.
And Paul just goes on and on during the book of Romans and Galatians and Colossians about what an amazing thing this is. And for a Pharisee to say that, you know, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And this is a time where rejoicing is really the only acceptable emotion to have, because we should all be just totally overwhelmed by this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, maybe sometimes after 2,000 years, we lose sight of the what we were under.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's good to study the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Here's another person who's really happy that Messiah came.
Ooh.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. You can find a lot of stuff there, Bible teachings, radio shows, and some contact information. We'll be back in just a minute.
We were born for such a time as this. For the Lamb of God is in our midst. Oh, the glory of the Lord has come. The Spirit filling everyone. We were born for such a time as this.
Holy, holy.
For the Lamb of God is in our midst. You are crowned with many crowns.
Yes, you are HaMashiach.
Every heart will bow
to the King of Israel.
Our praise will be your throne.
Yeshua HaMashiach,
all the earth will know
you're the King of Israel. La 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 la.
For the glory of the Lord is here. Of the tribe is near.
Holy is the Lord.
We have come for such a time as this.
Holy, holy.
For the Lamb of God is in our midst.
Holy is the Lord.
You are crowned with many crowns.
Yeshua HaMashiach.
Every heart will bow.
Mashiach,
all the earth will know
you're the King of Israel.
You are crowned with many crowns.
Yeshua HaMashiach,
every heart will bow
to the King of Israel.
Our praise will be your throne.
Yeshua HaMashiach,
and all the earth will know.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on Word 1220 with the last segment of the show.
Already.
Jeez. And we've been doing Isaiah and Zephaniah and...
This has been a lot of fun.
Paul Wilbur. Paul Wilbur wasn't a minor prophet. He just sings. But anyway, so we have probably, I don't know, few minutes left.
Mm-hmm. What shall we talk about?
So anyway, so amen. So we have about 8 minutes left. So, you know, we're talking about how this yoke, this burden is smashed. And, you know, we're going to talk actually some more about this next week, because because the Messiah is the son of David, you know, the throne of David is going to be established and he's going to sit on it and it's not going to have an end. Exactly. And this, of course, means that physically Messiah has to come.
Right.
And he has to be the God-man. He has to be a physical person as well as being divine. And because it says the zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to do this, it means that Messiah is going to do this with both of his natures. His human nature is going to suffer and die.
Mm-hmm.
His divine nature is going to be there. And it's really kind of an eternal sacrifice that just really transcends time. And because, you know, just like only God can give a prophecy that says the virgin will be with child, only God can make this plan of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
No human person would have sat down and devised this as a plan of salvation. It would have been beyond anybody's comprehension
mm-hmm.
that such a thing could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you think about in our society today with all like science and technology and medical advanced medical treatment and stuff like that, you know, a child cannot be made up just from a woman's egg.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be male sperm.
Mm-hmm.
And for a virgin to be with child is just an impossible thing to do back in the day of Jesus
mm-hmm.
or before Jesus. There was no science and technology for that.
That's right.
You know, and but for God's spirit to overshadow Mary
mm-hmm.
and thus conceive,
mm-hmm.
thus his divine nature and his human nature, which he gets from obviously his human mother.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that only God, you know, as it says in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My mm-hmm. ways are not your ways. And just as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. And we know that Jesus had to tell Peter a couple of times, like you're thinking as human beings do.
Okay? Yeah.
Don't block God's plan.
Yeah.
You know, God's ways are so much above our ways. And I know we've talked a lot of times about, you know, human wisdom and our own pride and stuff like that we get into. It's very hard sometimes for us as adults to acknowledge that, gosh, we don't have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's so much there's so much that we probably don't understand. Mm-hmm. Even though we understand a lot in our culture today, in our society today, there's vastly more that we don't understand.
Yeah.
Even with all the knowledge, because whenever you're increasing your knowledge, you're also increasing. There's another question that arises as to what's the next step beyond that,
mm-hmm.
and it's just how God unfolds His plan of salvation is just it's all done through Him, nothing through what we do.
That's right.
In spite of, you know, with all the prophets, with all mm-hmm. the, you know, the chosen people.
Moses didn't make this plan.
Moses and Abraham and
God
certainly chose people and worked through them.
Yeah.
But God always intervened and said, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for sake of my holy name.
That's right.
I'm going to do this. You want a sign? Here's a sign.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. Here's a sign that you can't do.
And speaking of that, think about what Mary would have been thinking. I mean, here's this young girl who's not really very educated.
Mm-hmm.
She probably knew that she was from the lineage of David.
Mm-hmm.
To not only does the angel say that the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you and you're going to conceive, but it says he's going to get the throne of David, his father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's this girl there who's, I don't know, 15, 16, 17, I don't know how old she was, thinking, wait a minute, there's an angel here telling me I'm going to have a baby. It's not going to be from a man. That baby's going to have the throne of his father, David. I'm related to David. This baby's going to be related to David. He's going to sit on David's throne. I'm just like this poor girl here in Bethlehem, mm-hmm. and I'm engaged to marry Joseph, and this baby's going to sit on David's throne. I mean, how could she have possibly we can't even comprehend it, and we know the story.
I know. I mean, you know, if you think about it, what if somebody came up to you and told you that today?
Yeah.
Would you believe them?
No.
Probably not.
No.
You know, we got to be honest. Probably not. Oh. And yet, there, you know, there she is in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we read the passage and then go, oh, well, that seemed pretty easy.
Yeah. Because we're used to reading it.
Yeah. I'm sure it wasn't. I'm sure it wasn't.
But, yeah. I mean, after you've read through it like 50 times over the course of your life, you say, oh, yeah, well, you know, angel came, told her. And
yeah. Well, sure. Yeah. Everybody knows that happened.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is she, in the scripture, doesn't tell us what she did. Other than, of course, there was this uncomfortable situation with Joseph when she tells him what's going on. But it doesn't tell us exactly what she did. But, you know, did she go home and say, now let me read this stuff about how the Messiah is going to be descended from David? Let me see, what does that mean?
You know, there probably wasn't a scroll laying around their house.
Oh, probably not. And girls probably couldn't even read.
Yeah.
I mean, did she go ask the rabbi, so is the Messiah going to be David's son? And the rabbi would have said, yes.
Why are you asking about this?
Yeah, exactly. And it's so mind-boggling that the whole point of this is that it's a plan that only God could make.
Mm-hmm.
And he reveals it to his people and subsequently to us, his adopted people, through the scripture and through all these revelations that took place.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably even after Jesus died, rose, ascended into heaven, and his mother Mary lived for a while after that, she probably still spent every day thinking, wow, I can't believe all this stuff happened. Whoa, are we coming to the end of the show?
I think so.
I can't believe it's
over. That was a different introduction.
Wow, it was.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we hope that you have a blessed week, everyone. And make ready your heart and make ready your home for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.